Hi, in this podcast, we're looking at a part of the AS specification that concentrates on the last question on the AQA Fed 1 paper. That's question 7. Slightly different than the other questions on the paper because the marking here is what we call banded marking, which means that you don't necessarily get one mark per correct point or per correct answer, but you are placed in a band and awarded a number of marks depending on the percentage of the overall available marks you get on the mark scheme. Therefore, as many points as possible is what we need. The question overall is worth 12. If you can get over 65 to 70% of the mark scheme, you should be in the top band, which may give you a mark of 10, 11 or 12 out of 12. So how are you going to do that? Okay, when you're answering question 7, what we're going to try and do is look at this from the point of view of using a little sequence, what we would call a template for the answer. And first of all, to do that, whenever you talk about types of practice, which is the topic we're looking at today for question 7, you need to make sure that you can identify some of the things that you might consider when you answer the question. The question will always start in the same way. It will say, you've been asked to improve the fitness and skills of a number of PE students. Consider the, what would you, that kind of thing. And it's also combined with a question related to anatomy, the fitness part, and the skill part of the question is kind of down to you. So here we go. What do you do? The first thing, three things you should consider when contemplating types of practice to use. First of all, you should consider the task, the type of skill. And on the type of skill, you need to know, is the skill organized? In other words, can you break it down into parts or not? Is the skill complex? How many decisions are involved? How continuous is the skill? Is it discrete, with a short, sharp, clear beginning and end? Or is it continuous? Is it an open skill that has variety? Or is it a closed skill that's repeated? You might also consider the performer, the age of the performer, the stage of learning that there are. Are they in the beginner stage? Are they experts? Do they have a high degree of ability? You might consider the gender of the performer. You might also consider the performer motivation and their level of fitness. And finally, you might consider the environment. Is there any danger involved? What facilities do you have? What's the size of the group you're being asked to teach? Those are all the things you might look at before you contemplate starting any type of practice. The trick to answering question 7 is to use that knowledge you have, those considerations, and apply them to the question. And in our case, we're going to look at the types of practice needed to answer that question. Maybe if you follow the following sequence, it may help you. The first thing is to give a definition. Secondly, is to apply the template we've just considered, the factors to look at. Task, performer, the environment. And then, are there any advantages or disadvantages of using the type of practice that you're being asked to consider? Okay, the first type of practice you might be asked to look at is called whole practice. And if we follow our sequence of events, we'll give a definition. Whole practice is when the skill is presented in its entirety, with the subroutines intact. Let's apply the template. What would we consider when we apply whole practice? We'd consider the type of skill. And we would do whole practice if the skill was fast, ballistic. If it's closed, because it's clear and sharp. If it's discrete, with a clear beginning and end. If the skill's very simple, with few decisions. And if the skill's very highly organised, which means we're unable to break it down. In those circumstances, we would use the whole practice method. Okay. Are there some advantages of doing that? Yes, because whole practice helps us to get a feel and understanding of the skill. It creates fluency. It helps to keep the links between the subroutines. It builds a mental image of the task, and therefore it can help to develop motor programs that we can store in our long-term memory. The disadvantage of whole practice, there's a danger of giving too much information. It might be beyond the capabilities of the performer, particularly if the performer is in that cognitive or early stage of learning. It's not really for beginners. We might also consider that in a dangerous situation, whole practice might not be appropriate if there are elements of the whole task that might require additional learning to prevent danger, such as on trampolining. Okay, another type of practice is progressive parts. Again, we'll follow the sequence. A definition. Progressive practice is when the skill's broken up into its elements or subroutines, and each part is added gradually. Let's apply some of the factors we need to consider to progressive part practice. We would use it when the skill's serial. A serial skill has several discrete bits linked together, so we could practice each of those discrete bits and add them gradually to the previous learned skill. We might do progressive part practice when the skill is complex. We might do it when there's an element of danger. We might do it as a beginner when there's a new task. Okay? Are there any advantages of using progressive part practice? Very much so. It keeps the links between subroutines. It gives us stages of success, and therefore it provides motivation for the learner. It reduces danger. The disadvantage, it's a time-consuming process. If we get one part in the sequence incorrect, then the whole thing tends to become a little bit messed up and might not be worth doing. Okay, two more types of practice to look at, and again, we'll follow the same sequence of events. Mass practice as opposed to distributed practice. Mass practice. No rest intervals are given in between the practice sessions. It's a period of continuous work, if you like. Why would we do this? The performer has to be fit, has to be well motivated. There might be no danger. We might want to improve fitness. Mass practice is used particularly to make the skills become habitual, so they're overlearned, so that we can get them into that stage of a higher level of performance, so it's appropriate for a performer in that autonomous stage. It's also appropriate for discrete skills with a clear beginning and end, and it's appropriate for simple skills without a lot of decision making, because we're going to be doing this skill non-stop, so we don't want to be making too many decisions while we're doing that. The problem, while we're performing, there's an obvious risk of fatigue, and there's no time for the coach to give feedback. Distributed practice is the opposite. It gives a rest interval in between the practice sessions. When would we do this? When there's less danger, when the performer is a beginner in that cognitive stage, when the skill is complex, we might do each element of it to break it up. When the skill's serial, again, we would use one discrete part and then learn the next. We would perhaps use distributed practice to give rest intervals to allow the performer to recover. We would use it when there's less element of danger. It's a safer method of practice. We can stop it and break the practice up if any danger is present. It facilitates coaching. In the rest interval, not only can players rest, but you can give them coaching, you can give them feedback, and you can even allow time for them to do mental practice. Disadvantages? Possibility of negative transfer, that is, when one part of the practice doesn't link in well to the next part, when there's some kind of hindrance to the performance. And again, it could be time consuming. Another type of practice is called varied practice. Varied practice is when you begin to mix up the types of practice you use, or you mix up the skills and drills within your practice session. Again, when would you do this? Perhaps you do varied practice when the skill is open, because that does have a variety and lends itself well to different styles of practice. You do it for beginners. The reason for that is the variety would serve as a method of motivation. And you do varied practice when there are different outcomes to the task. Short passes, long passes, different variety of methods that you could use. It tends to develop the subroutines of the task. It's very good for developing a schema in performers. A schema is a set of learned, adapted motor programs, and a varied style of practice can get you to develop that within the memory. Disadvantages of varied practice. Again, the possibility of negative transfer. Too much variety could mean that one skill leading on from another could actually hinder the performance initially. And again, varied practice is time consuming. Okay, what we've tried to do there is list a number of types of practice. We've tried to get you to think of three things when you're answering the type of question. Can we define the type of practice? Can we apply the things we need to consider to that type of practice? And are there any advantages or disadvantages? If you can follow that process, then hopefully you have a greater chance of gaining as many marks as you possibly can to help you successfully answer the extended question, or question 7 on the S exam.